His already vast respect for the man who had been Nemu Alban clicked up another notch at the thought, and he returned his mental focus to Seamount. "That sounds to me like an excellent idea," he said firmly. "Has anything startling come to light yet?"
"Actually, I think there are going to be several things. Some of them I'm going to have to discuss with Admiral Lock Island and Dustin Oliver, but I wouldn't be surprised if we wind up making some design changes in the next class of galleons."
He shook his head, his expression ruefully bemused.
"I suppose we shouldn't be surprised, given how radically we've stood traditional naval architecture on its head. But it turns out, if Irvin and the rest of the experimental board are right, that we've been guilty of trying for too much of a good thing in at least a couple of ways. They're also carrying out those detailed artillery experiments I've been trying to find time to supervise for the last year and a half."
He shook his head again, and this time there was more than a trace of exhaustion in his eyes.
"That's one reason, the main one, really, I wanted the board, Rajir. There just aren't enough hours in a day for me to personally see to everything that needs seeing to. I realized several months ago that I've actually turned myself into a bottleneck by trying to do that. I think Irvin's going to help a lot in that respect."
"Personally, I'm in favor of reducing your workload any way we can," Mocklin said a bit gently. "In fact, if I'd thought about it, and if I'd thought I could talk you into it, I probably would have suggested something like this to you myself. I'm ashamed to admit that I didn't think about it, though."
"Well, it's not as if we haven't all had a few other things on our minds," Seamount observed dryly.
"No, it's not," Mocklin agreed.
And, he reflected, it must be extraordinarily difficult to voluntarily step back in a situation like this, especially for someone who was so damned good at what he did. It had to be hard for a competent man, doing something he loved as much as Seamount obviously loved his own work, to let anyone else come between him and any of the hands-on aspects of it.
"At any rate, I think we're going to have the board's first formal report for you and the Inquiry Council in the next 5 days or so. That's the first thing I wanted to mention to you. The second thing I wanted to talk to you about, though, and the real reason I want to sit down with Dr. Lewis this afternoon, is that while Irvin's been getting started on that, I've found myself with some extra time to think about the new artillery."
"And?" Mocklin let his chair come most of the way back upright, propping his elbows on the arms and interlacing his fingers across his stomach.
"Well, the first thing is that Dr. Lewis's new compound seems to perform as promised."
Seamount beamed, and Mocklin felt himself smiling back. Sandra Lewis was the college's senior chemist, although now that Mocklin had access to Owl's computer library, he supposed the proper term would probably be alchemist at this point. The college had been groping its way towards what Merlin called the scientific method of inquiry, even before his own arrival. But the conditions Eric Langhorn and Adare Bedard had established in the Holy Writ had made the process difficult, to say the least, and dangerous. When they'd created the Church of God Awaiting, Langhorn and Bedard had realized that simply telling people what God forbade them to do would never be sufficient to stifle human curiosity forever, which was why they'd provided miraculous explanations for an incredible breadth of phenomena which might otherwise have provoked eternally inquisitive human beings into wondering why things happened. By offering up those explanations under the infallible imprimatur of the archangels, and for that matter God himself, they'd done a remarkably good job of short-circuiting those why questions. Not too surprisingly, perhaps, when doubting or challenging those explanations equated to doubting God, which was unthinkable for anyone raised under the aegis of Holy Mother Church and her Inquisition. At the same time, though, the potential seeds for those very sorts of questions had been buried in the writ itself, in the directions which had been required for the successful colonization of a planet humanity hadn't originally been designed to live upon. Merlin called the process terraforming, and it was a stupendous task for any world without advanced technology. It was also one which had left the archangels with something of a dilemma. The original colonists and their descendants had absolutely required at least some technological tools if they were to spread out from their initial enclaves, claim the entire surface of the planet, and, above all, survive. Which, after all, had been the point of establishing the colony in the first place. Even lunatics like Langhorne and Bedard had been forced to admit that much. And if those tools weren't provided from the beginning, the need for them would very soon force their indigenous development, thus sparking the very innovation the two of them were determined to prevent. So the archangels had found themselves with no choice but to give divine instructions for things like animal husbandry, fertilizing techniques, hygiene, basic preventive medicine, certain cottage-level manufacturing processes, and a whole host of other necessary skills and techniques. The fact that those instructions always worked, if they were followed properly, had served to buttress and powerfully reinforce the miraculous, fundamentally unscientific worldview which had gripped Safehold for so many centuries. Yet people were still people. There were always those who wanted to delve a little deeper, understand things even more thoroughly, and despite the eagle eye the Inquisition kept on those inquisitive souls, sometimes the questions got asked anyway.